Welcome back to Screen Crush Rewind. I'm your host, Ryan Airey, and today we're going to be talking about The Boys finale. So I'll warn you right now, big spoilers are ahead for the ending of The Boys. We're not going to hold anything back in this talk. Maybe at the beginning, we'll just at first say what we thought of it, but we're going to get into spoilers pretty quick. Got a lot of special guests joining us. At first, a little bit of housekeeping. Our first watch party live stream is tonight. We're going to watch the X-Men. X-Men 1 from the year 2000 is going to be on here at 8 o'clock. So we're not actually going to show it. What we're going to do is we're going to play it on our own computers or systems. You do the same thing, turn the volume down, and we're all just going to talk and comment and enjoy the movie that we've been watching for almost the past 30 years. That is tonight, 8 p.m. EST. Be there, be square. Should be a lot of fun. Normally, those live streams are just going to be for members, but we're going to do the first one for everybody. And we have new membership tiers up on the store right now, but we'll talk about all that stuff later. I'm excited to talk to you guys about this finale. We have a poll running right now. Give us comments. Give us super chats if you want. They're always encouraged, but not required. The poll is actually 51% loved it, and only right now 6% hated it, with 43% saying, I have far more nuanced opinions, which I really think is nice to know that in this age of internet people being so mean to each other that there's a lot of nuance we can talk about. I will say there's something I'll talk about later. There's one aspect of this finale that in hindsight, I really don't like, and I think completely undermines the theme of this series. So let me get straight to our guest today. Our first guest up, you know him as the man who was always on break, Mr. Tommy Bechtold. What's up, Tommy?
Ryan, is it 1999? Is Backstreet Boys and NSYNC exploding all over our screens? Because I've got boys on the brain and I'm getting ready to watch X-Men tonight.
That's right, baby. I'm telling you, Tommy's going to be with us tonight. We're still solidifying the lineup, but I know Tommy and Michael both be there. It's always 1999 in my brain, baby. I've never adjusted to the 2000s. I am still wearing baggy jeans. I have frosted tips in the back of my head. Nature's frosting on the sides, you know.
You made me donate to a GoFundMe for your Tamagotchi that was ill, which was very
absolutely, like, yeah. Strange, and of course, we're always contributing money to landmine research in honor of Princess Diana. And right. Next up, you know him as Doug's attorney, Mr. Mike Mazzella. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Really interesting finale here. I think it was a really creative choice to have Homelander and Sage and the Deep just all just sitting in that diner. And then, of course, we hear a bell and the door opens and then it just cuts to black. And we have no idea what
happened.
I loved
it. Yeah.
It was one of the most creative endings to a series that I've ever seen.
And unfortunately, because I'm stuck in the year 1999, I don't know what you're talking about. And can I just say, I don't know if you're listening to- We're on every podcast platform, so maybe you can't see what Mike's wearing right now. Dude, I am digging the, like, Balky Bar Takamas look with your shirt down, your chest hair showing.
You like my outfit? Do you like
Yeah, you look like the Deep. Yeah, sorry, it's great.
I was very inspired to do a little memorial here to my man Kevin.
Gotcha.
Spoiler alert. R.I.P. Kevin. I did call it. I knew he was
couldn't see your gauntlets. Oh, I'm sorry I cut you off there.
These
couldn't
are for
see your
aerodynamics.
Gauntlets.
This is gotcha, so that gotcha. I am swift.
I thought you were just rolling up here dressed like a Bosnian bouncer with your chest hair showing. But I get it. It's a Deep costume now. You look awesome.
This is not costume. This is my culture right here. my legitimate thoughts. I actually really liked it. I know that people have mixed feelings about it, but like I said to you before we started, I think Kripke landed the plane here. I have more nuanced thoughts as we get into it, but
does 49% of the people in our chat right now. But before we get into the nuanced thoughts, one second, we got one more guy to bring on. You know him as the man. You know him from our socials. You know him from all over Screen Crush. He's got his fingers in many pies. Take that however you want. Mr. Ethan Ng, what's going on, my friend?
Hi. My other hand is in a pie right now.
But maybe that's your new nickname. Maybe your nickname is always, his other hand is in a pie. Here we go, Ethan.
Getting something. Glad to be here. Glad to talk to the boys. Oh, my God. What a finale. I think I voted on the nuanced side of that. I kind of came from the finale feeling a little less than positive, but I think that'll be really interesting to get into why.
And yeah, and I should note that Colton is going to join us. He's just not here yet. So he's actually working on our Easter egg video, which is going to go up. Our Ending Explained video is already up on the site right now.
It's just making us wait.
Exactly. So we're just going to wait here patiently for him and not talk. All right. Mike's already dropped his thoughts on it. Like you said, we're going to get into more nuance. Tommy, I haven't really heard from you, though, what you thought of this episode.
I loved parts of it. I am still trying to get kind of gather my overall opinion of it. I think, you know, I thought that they could have taken some bigger swings with some of how some things wrapped up. And that would have probably made it even more polarizing. So as an entire landing of a show, I agree. I thought they did a really nice job with that. I did think it was interesting. I thought like the Deeps, like in terms of conclusions for characters, the Deeps was great. I thought Sister Sages was great, like kind of almost like a Twilight Zone episode where like in the end, she only can have peace by like losing everything that made her special. I think there's something poetic about that. But I thought a little, some of it was on the nose. I'm sure we'll get deeper into it. But like, you know, I thought particularly Huey and Starlight's kind of like for Happily Ever After was a little too almost sitcom-y ending to me. And I think that that's probably because they're not done.
I literally screamed at the TV, don't step off the curb. Don't. And then she.
When he said Robin, I only kind of half caught that he said, take care of your mom. And for a second, I thought he accidentally called her Robin. And that's how the series was going to end. But then I got that he was talking to the unborn child. All right, let's go through this, though. I got an idea. Let's go through each character and talk about their different endings and what you guys thought. Tommy, you've given us a really quick overview of yours. But let's just go through these one at a time. And let's start with probably, let's go from least impactful to the most impactful. Let's start with the Gen V kids. Why were they in the show?
Underused.
Oh, man. I don't know if they're, I don't know if blame is the right word, but it definitely feels like Gen V as a show set itself up for failure there and being like, oh, this is so important to the Boys universe. And it's like, I don't even know if Eric Kripke or the writers of season five wanted to use the Gen V cast, because it felt like, you know, the way they were written off I thought was pretty well done, but it just, that sucks that they had to be written off. And that is kind of my main problem with the finale. I have the same problem with Sage, but we'll get into that. But for the Gen V characters, they're like my hope of the future of this franchise going forward. I'm crossing my fingers that we get a confirmation of a spinoff for them soon.
Yeah, to add to that, Ethan, I took that as the way the show kind of wrapped up, the way that Gen V was canceled. I feel like, you know, it'll probably be a year or two until we get the announcement, but with the prequel show coming out, you know, I feel like they maybe consolidated things a little bit. Like they're like, well, we still have pieces on the board that are alive and like in this world still with powers and whatever. Like we didn't get rid of all the superheroes. So I feel like maybe they were like, rather than continuing to do episodes or seasons of Gen V, we'll just have a spinoff with who's left that, you know, makes sense to be in the show. And therefore they kind of sidelined the Gen V. Well, they completely sidelined the Gen V cast in these last three episodes, you know, like bringing them in and kind of being like, why did you like? I think don't they even ask like why are we here?
I think there's a kind of
they kind of allude
and
to
I don't
that,
know
like, really. Or I guess they just talk about being disappointed. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess Kripke, I would guess, wasn't that involved in Gen V, but they were like, yeah, you got to include these characters. Especially given how powerful Marie is, there was nothing for her to do in the finale.
He really wanted season three to come. Like he was really upset about the cancellation. So I assume that at least him, I don't know. I don't remember off the top of my head, like who's on the writing team for Gen V, but at least him as like the Kevin Feige of the VCU, he really liked the Gen V cast. I don't know. Unfortunately, that show is also marred by the death of Chance Perdomo.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of, I think Gen V not there getting a season three is like a result of a lot of different issues. Right. But I love that cast. I think that story was so interesting. Like seeing these young adults grow up in this world.
It felt like maybe they got the news that Gen V wasn't going to get renewed for season three earlier than everybody else. And then they decided, okay, let's like really give these characters and these actors the send-off that they deserve by at least acknowledging them and putting them into the finale. Because the dialogue and everything in that they have in this final episode doesn't seem like it's setting up for Gen V season three. Like they still thought at that time that they shot this, that there was going to be a season three of Gen V. I think that they were like criminally underused. I really liked the Gen V show. I think that it had a lot of potential. And Kripke, I believe I read, gave an interview recently where he said that like season three was going to be Marie Moreau's kind of like Yoda training season, where she was going to really develop her powers and really reach that like upper echelon of like what she's able to do. What she would have been doing or who she would have been going after, who knows? Because we know that obviously Homelander died in this season, but Voth's still around. Maybe maybe she would have gotten recruited for that CIA thing that the president was trying to get Huey for at the end.
That's what I said at the end of in our end and explain video. I kind of surmised on that. And we're also working on a what's next video, which might talk about that too. But I don't know yet because our next guest hasn't even written that video yet. We have, you know, him as the guy who's stuck in our TV but doesn't know it, Mr. Colton Ogburn. What's up, Colton?
Hello. What I miss?
We just started. Gave our general very kind of quick TLDR impressions on the show. We spent a lot of time making fun of you and doing our impressions of you. And then
I had deep fins on, but those were just for the people who got here on time. So,
and I thought the deep fins, I thought he was just dressed like a bouncer with a deep V cut, and I insulted him and didn't realize it was part of a deep costume. So, yeah, I think you're pretty well caught up.
Oh my God, you think I'm tall? Thank you.
You guys are forgetting to tell him I wore a full rock bottom costume and shot lava.
Yeah, there was that too. Right. Yeah.
Ryan had a trench coat on. He was saying oi, oi, oi a bunch. Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah. Is that his name? Rock Bottom? I don't even know.
Colton, we just finished talking about Gen V, but what were your just thoughts overall in the finale?
Oh, I loved it, man. I've given like my non-spoiler review on my personal channel, and I'm getting a lot of, oh, he's glazing it. Okay, fine. Yeah, I loved it. I understand why some people may be disappointed that it wasn't honestly what they kind of advertised it to be, which was this scorched earth Homelander floating above earth, nukes going off, Butcher and the White House lawn.
That sounds like everything people hated about the Netflix finale.
Typical,
like, yeah, I hate that idea.
You mean the Stranger Things finale?
Yeah, I said Netflix. Yeah. I meant Stranger Things.
Yeah. I feel like this show is so meta, and I think it was super meta that they didn't do the traditional, this finale is just 45 minutes of CGI buildings blowing up and destruction. Mm-hmm. I liked the intimate nature of it. And don't get me wrong, I get it. I get that all series long we've been building towards seeing Homelander just go apeshit. But to play devil's advocate, I think the whole point is that we learn that Homelander is nothing. He's nothing. We call his bluff. This series finale, in a meta way, calls the bluff of Homelander. He's not cool. He's not badass. He's not God. So we didn't need to see even like this big fight take place on the White House lawn or the White House blow up and all that. The fact that it just took place right there in the Oval Office, dude couldn't even get out of the Oval Office to have like the final fight on the White House lawn or something.
He tried twice. We predicted so much of this on our talk last week when we were talking about this and predicting what was going to happen in the finale. You guys literally said there's going to be some live broadcast, like the people have to see it live with their own eyes. I don't know, I think a lot of people are still not gonna, but that crowd of true believers, you got that great scene where you saw on the iPads in real time their minds changing, which was really cool that they were able to visualize that for the audience.
And he was also taken directly from the comic book. They just condensed.
Yes,
like,
it was.
The last issue is Homelander. He dies with a crowbar to the head, just like in the show. And then they condensed the last arc where Butcher goes after the boys into like the back half of the episode, his confrontation with Huey.
I think they really hurt themselves with the posters. Like, why did they put out a poster for the finale that is Homelander levitating above the White House with an army of soups behind him and Butcher walking the White House lawn with a crowbar? That is just
also
misleading.
From the comics.
But
it's not I don't know. I didn't pay attention to any of that. I had no expectations going into this. I feel bad that other people did.
Right. And I feel like a lot of the critiques are coming, as critiques tend to do, are coming from a place of expectation. Like, oh, this poster was out, so I thought this. If we were judging it purely just on the finale, I loved it. I love the intimate nature of it. I love how small it felt. And I can get how like, oh, it feels like, this feels like a TV show. It is a TV show in its like small, intimate nature. But the whole point of, and I'm talking about the Butcher versus Homelander scene as if it's like the end of the episode. It happens right in the middle of it. But I feel like the whole point of that feeling so small was to show just how small Homelander is. Maybe I'm giving the creators and the writers too much credit there, but I really mm-hmm. do think that just how pathetic and easy he was to honestly bring down right there at the end. I think that's meant to say, yeah, he was always just, you know, full of it. He's nothing.
I agree, Colton. And I think it's been alluded to almost from the start of the show that like Homelander has all these like little mini breakdowns where like he's like alone in his office / apartment, like kind of like losing it over like the feeling of his feelings being hurt. Like he constantly has mm-hmm. his feelings hurt mm-hmm. and he constantly, usually in his own private, you know, sanctuary, lets it get the best of him. And this was just finally the moment where like all of those little mini tantrums were shown to the entire world via broadcast. And, yes. and in the end, he's just a sniveling, hurt feelings little boy who's like
not a great negotiator either. He went straight to "I'll suck your dick." Like there was no lead up to that.
Yeah, he immediately went to
just straight to "I'll suck your dick." I'll eat shit. That was crazy.
It's insane the amount of time I spend in the breaking down Butcher's facial reaction to Homelander offering to do that because it's so perfect. I'll give a little tease. It's just you see on Butcher's face, Butcher like realizing
he's just like holy,
oh
shit,
my god,
pathetic. Oh my god,
you give a little tease, enemy? Which is just what Homelander did in that scene.
You can see it on his face. Butcher's like, I have spent the better part of a decade chasing an empty, nothing man child who probably doesn't hate me because he's not even capable of hating me. He's so sterile.
And this is exactly what Huey told him before, right? Huey faced down Homelander, I can't remember the episode, and basically said, oh, I see, you're nothing. Like, there's nothing behind you and guys like season, me. Right? Yeah, yeah. And then this final fight, by the way, is basically a reconfiguration of the fight at the end of season 3. Which was a really poorly done, I thought, small-scale battle. It takes place in an office where they're knocking around filing cabinets. I thought this version was done a lot better. I mean, you had Ryan in both fights, and this time he stepped in. You had somebody who could take away Homelander's power. And, you know, basically
it reminded me of the fight they had at Herogasm when they're both holding him down. Remember, Huey is on one side and Butcher's on the other, and they're trying to get mm-hmm. Soldier Boy to blast him. And then he just, like, goes straight up through the ceiling. I thought he was going to do that again. And I don't know why he didn't.
He couldn't get out of there.
He's stronger this time. I mean,
I loved watching him try to. Tommy, you said he tried it twice. I think it might have been more. Like the amount of times we see Homelander trying to bolt out of there, I'm like, you are such a bitch. Yeah. And can I ask?
You mean before he gets depowered?
Yeah, before he gets depowered. Yeah. Oh, well, afterwards.
Oh, I got to watch it.
Oh, and the way he jumps, the little bunny hop.
Oh, my God, the little hop.
That was so funny. That was so great.
I'm seeing so many people complain that they expected a. Like kind of like at the end of Daredevil season 3 when Matt beats the hell out of Kingpin and Fisk is like, I will never stop hunting Karen Page and Foggy Nelson. Like he's basically begging Daredevil to kill him. He is not showing any form of weakness. That's what they wanted out of Homelander here.
No.
And I'm telling you, that would have been so out of character for Homelander. Like I'm seeing people say the other way around, like, oh, they took away his powers, but why'd that take away his attitude? Why'd that take away the cockiness? Because the powers were the attitude.
That was the whole thing. Yeah, there's nothing underneath it.
There was only one way for Homelander to respond to that. And if it had been William, just do, you know, anything like that, that's not Homelander. That's not who he is.
If he tried to put on a tough face and then like Butcher like wound up and then he started crying, that would have been really funny.
Colin,
go ahead, Tommy.
To your point about the meta-ness of it all, it's like we see how ridiculous these actors have to perform when they're pretending to take flight and shoot lasers out of their eyes. Mm-hmm. Is the great making like the magical whatever energy. And it's like, when he goes like this to like shoot the lasers and nothing comes out. And it's like, it's so impotent. Right. And he does this little jump. It's like, it's the perfect meta moment of like, these.
You know what it looked like? Do you guys remember like old Mad TV back in the day, those sketches with Mo Collins and I think Michael McDonald, Stewart was like little boy.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's literally what he looked like.
My
and
mom
it was like,
just
dude, this guy also has no strength at all. He hopped so short because he's never used real muscle in his life. It's always just been his powers. So he is like scrawny and weak.
Well, and that's why I'm so glad that he's not so huge like he is in the comics, because Homelander's big dude in the comics, but he's not in the show. And like his suit is like so obviously like padding. So yeah, I really like that.
And you know what that shows about Anthony Starr is not a big guy. They could have done that. They could have taken away his padding after he loses his powers too and had him actually just be like a kind of like my size, like a normal size.
Kind of like a Red Sun Superman, like just.
Yeah. All right. And, so, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just we did get that slight second of him trying to say, you can't do this. You can't. I am the Homelander. You hate shit. And then he
you got your check from Amazon, right? For the good review.
I haven't yet.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. It's because you won't do direct deposit. No, Ethan and I and Tommy, like we've got ours like weeks ago.
I got a free trip on Blue Origin. I get to go on the ride. Next one.
You got a free. Oh, you did? Oh, shoot, yeah. Mike. That's great. I'm jealous. See, I went for the money.
I just got a bunch of Miley Cyrus marshmallows filled with heroin. Shaq.
Oh, wait. I just got an email. Guys, I got a free year of Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Is the video or the delivery service you get? No?
Both. Totally worth it.
Oh, my God.
And all it cost was from the guy. We just needed the guy from Screen Rant, the one with the dog, to say nice things on his personal Twitter account to earn that.
I just got an email, too. I just got a free year of Prime Energy Drink. It's an email from Logan Paul, and it says,
oh, there you go.
Homelander was right about everything. Oh, my God. Logan.
He would say that.
Let's run through some of these other characters and talk about their endings. Before I do, I want to acknowledge a couple super chats from Mr. Sinister, $4 total. He says, oi, Colton's right. It was a great episode. And asked, any OG cast members in the spinoffs, are Ryan's powers gone? Yes, Ryan's powers are gone.
No.
OG characters? So. I think Queen Maeve.
I don't think Ryan's powers are gone.
Me and Colton had this back and forth.
No, he said they are.
About his
Who said they are?
Butcher, when he's talking to Ryan afterwards, says, oi, mate, neither of us got powers now. We can live a normal life. I'm not doing the accent well.
That's an assumption.
But I remember I immediately,
Colton
like,
is assuming he'll come back.
Butcher myself, assumes. Like, well, but then Ryan says, like, no, and, like, I'm not going to go with you. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, dude, but you're, like, 16 and you don't have superpowers anymore. So, like, how are you just going to be homeless? And then he gets adopted by MM, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful ending.
You think he adopted him? That makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I thought he was marrying him at the end. Wait, that wasn't a wedding?
No, I 100% think he still has his powers and he's keeping it to himself. Because we never see anything that, like, indicates he did. There's nothing to indicate he does still have his powers necessarily. But Butcher kind of just assumes, oh, I lost my powers. Homelander lost his powers. You lost your powers. But we have to remember, their powers are through actual Compound V injection. Ryan is the first natural born soup.
Yeah.
And the way that the V is in his blood, Ethan, was it you or Elias that said, I believe in the chat when I was saying this argument, you had the great point. I think it might've been Elias that Compound V, that's an injection that can be burned out of the blood. Ryan as a natural born soup, I think would naturally produce whatever that is the V thing, construct is.
Like Ellie and the Last of Us kind of thing. Yeah.
But that's the question, is like, would his body produce natural compound V? We're not sure of that, right?
That he's a teenager and all of our other points of reference are like full grown adults, right?
Yeah, so there's like, also
I thought Maverick was Translucent's son and has the same powers. Did he get compound V when he was a kid? Or
actually, that's a good point.
Well, here's Polarity too, right? Polarity and his son have the same powers. Maybe there is something tied to genetics that indicates what type of power you'll get.
You get.
Yeah, I don't think Ryan's the only one.
There was a while in the early seasons we would do these reviews, and I said something about them being kids. And Ryan, you said like I thought all the soups were sterile and like none of them could have kids.
Yeah, I thought they were too. But
I think that's rewrote good, that.
No.
Well, wait a second, Ryan. You make a good point about Maverick. Why did they go on and on about Ryan being the first natural born soup if there's Maverick? I don't,
because he got V. He was given V.
Who was given V?
Okay, so wait, I think I got a way to settle this. You ready? Okay, a soup has a kid. Their kid has their genetic makeup. We don't know exactly which soups will get which powers. When they get V, they get the same powers. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like your genetics that are passed down from your parents are what in some way determines what type of power is unlocked by Gen V.
You manifest.
So if you're a soup and you have a kid, your kid is born a normal human baby.
Oh, Huey and his dad, same thing.
Strong likelihood they get the same power.
Huey and his dad both had teleportation power. Same thing.
Yes, they did.
Temp.
Yeah.
Well, No,
Huey was more. Too many people talking at once.
Like Soldier Boy, but he can fly. Who else can
I still don't understand why they said that Ryan was the first natural born suit. If Maverick
let's dive into that in another video. Maverick was born a human baby, and then they gave him V. And also Mike just made a good point. He said if Soldier Boy couldn't fly but Homelander can, maybe that means his mom is Stormfront, which is another thing that I'm thinking
100%
is Rising, they're gonna reveal it.
Yes, and she's alive.
You don't write in Soldier Boy saying bullshit.
Did you see a body? That is writer speak. Yeah, she's alive.
But again, here's the deal, in the spinoff series, maybe the Bureau of Super, but
is she depowered? Because she got blasted by Ryan. Does he have the same ability to take away powers?
No, he doesn't, because that comes from an experimentation.
And I want to talk about that experiment later because I have some issues with it.
All right, let's keep moving here. I love the idea here that Stormfront's alive, and if she is, maybe she factors into the spinoff show where she's the villain from the Bureau of Superhuman Affairs, if that's what the spinoff they're going to do is, which I think would be cool. I love Jim Beaver. I'm glad he's back in the White House. Do we like his ending? Was that satisfying for everybody?
Yes. I wish he would have killed Soldier Boy, but yes. Happy that is happy.
Did he move on from his rage against Soldier Boy?
I mean, I think he got closure when he like put him to sleep the first time. Like when he puts the gas mask on him, he says like, this is for my grandfather and whatever. So like, I guess he kind of already had that moment in season three.
His love for his family is just bigger. Cause like, remember when Soldier Boy first resurfaced, like it took a whole scene of Butcher convincing him to come back out into the fight, even though he hates Soldier Boy. Like that is definitely a feud. He would just not do what Butcher did with Homelander.
I think that he thinks he's closed the book on Soldier Boy, but with them setting up Ryan being with MM and setting up Ryan having a disdain for Soldier Boy, we know MM has a disdain for Soldier Boy. We know Soldier Boy is on ice at Vought. We know they're doing Vought Rising, which is going to explore Soldier Boy and Clara. I could see like a season two of Vought Rising taking place post Boy season five and seeing Ryan and MM brought back into the fight because they need to go up against Soldier Boy and Stormfront. Yeah.
And Soldier
Boy. Or maybe they do a parallel storyline like Godfather.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. What, Mike?
Oh, I was just going to say, and we get to see Stormfront and Soldier Boy have that reunion after, obviously, this would come out after Vought Rising. So then we'd have the context of the whole backstory of their relationship as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be really interesting.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. That I just assumed a spinoff would come out concurrent to Vought Rising.
I think especially with what they set up with Stan Edgar at the end and Vought still being the main villain of this universe, I really could see Vought Rising not just being a period piece and then, you know, transitioning into like a continuation of the story from the Boys.
Let me ask you this before we move on to the next character, Sister Sage. In the ending explained video, I kind of theorized that at this point, maybe the public really are done with superheroes, right? Maybe that's not just a meta line that Butcher said. If that's the case, you still have all these soups of powers. What do? I think a lot of them might actually just turn to flat out crime, which I assume would be the next iteration of this show. And the next theme of it is like, you know, I don't know. This show is about pop culture and politics. So what else is there to say? Are we talking about world politics? So what would the theme be of the continuing show that takes place after the show?
What did Edgar mean when he said, or not Edgar, I'm sorry, Bob, President Singer, what did he mean when he said the something at Vought, they're running wild? Is he just referring to rogue soups?
Yeah. I guess, you know, Vought probably doesn't have a good handle on things. And, you know, Homelander was Axe the Seven, didn't care for any other soups other than himself. So a lot of soups are probably, there is no, like, in season one of The Boys, it was believable that a character like Starlight existed where she didn't know that soups were fucked up. There is no lid on that anymore. Anybody with Compound V, anybody with ties to Vought, they know what their purpose was. They know that Homelander basically ruined the job for them, ruined their image for them.
And they've had a serious reality check, having seen on live TV Homelander, the most powerful of them all, being depowered and then his head cracked open. So,
right.
I think, you know, in the end, it appears though with Stanecker taking Vought back, becoming in charge of Vought again, it kind of proves Butcher's point to Huey that, like, just because Homelander's gone, that our problem isn't solved. And I do think that, like, with the kind of cynical nature of the boys, America loves a comeback story, and, like, there's going to be Vought will recover because they'll use all sorts of misinformation and manipulative advertising to win back the hearts and minds of people and be like, no, we've got the Homelander became bigger than Vought and decided he was more important than Vought, but he doesn't reflect Vought's values. And they'll be able to bring in a new seven, and there'll be a literal dawn of the new seven. And they'll, and right. I think that that will be what
the dawn of the new seven.
It's like,
Tommy, you know, that reminds me, Dawn of the Seven reminds me that at our merch store, we have a 50% off sale, all of our boys merch and Star Wars merch, including this Dawn of the Seven shirt. And I just want to say that one of my favorite aspects of the boys is its celebration of consumerism. And if there's one thing I believe in this world, it's that you can go out and buy happiness from our merch store with shirts like the Girls Get It Done. Of course, we have the God You shirt. This is one of my favorites, Billy Butcher, Hunting Homelander, and a parody of the first appearance of the Punisher. This is one of my all-time favorites. We have the Laser Baby, Diabolical Nirvana parody. We have the Soldier Boy, the musical, like Steve Rogers, the musical. Soldier Boy, Punching Hitler. Who wouldn't want to wear that on their chest? And many, many more. So again, if you want to truly buy happiness for yourself, do that with our link below. 15% off with an additional 15% off if you're at the $5 tier of our merch store. Join us in our glorious consumerist future. Shall we talk about Sister Sage, guys? What do we think about her?
I think... I put this on my notes, but I think Sage is the one of the only characters that is the most likely to pop back up. Like as a depowered person, I think you could explore maybe like an avenue where the Soldier Boy and Kimiko like power blast thing is not as effective, or Kimiko's version is not as effective, because I think Sage was an interesting, super smart character, right? Because she craved all that peace and that like, leave me alone, I don't want anyone to rely on me. But she only craved that when she was super smart. So what does it feel like when she doesn't have that intelligence anymore? Will she want it back? Will she take Compound V again? Or is her power able to come back through studying? Because it is just intelligence, you know? I could see her be an interesting character, or she's just dumb forever.
I hope she's dumb forever. I think that would be the happiest
ending. I don't hope that, because I think that is a happy ending. I don't want her to have a happy ending. She is an evil character, guys. She was planning a mass genocide. You know how many people died in those camps because of her? Yeah. Why are we letting Sister Sage off the hook here? What did she even really do to help? She was wrong. She was instrumental in Homelander getting his hands on the Compound V because she was so arrogant. Guys, she's not a good character. She should have died.
I mean good as in I liked watching her. I liked watching her play.
Yeah, she's a very interesting and compelling character. Absolutely.
But she is the only way we were able wonderfully. To... Like, she is the only reason they were able to kill Homelander, though.
That's true.
I really like the idea.
I hate that MacGuffin of them turning Kimiko into the thing, but we'll talk about it when we get to her, because I think that was just very ham-fisted. But
I like the idea of when we see Sage again and her living her like in her ignorant bliss. I like the idea of her smarts like slowly coming back, and she realizes it, and that terrifies her, one, because her peace is about to go away, but two, that means that what Kimiko did, it doesn't work. And that gives us a lot of implications. Had Butcher not killed Homelander in that moment and they locked him up, his powers would have come back. So that's big. We could learn Ryan's powers are going to... It's kind of like the X-Men 3 thing.
See Sister Sage go through a reverse Flowers for Algernon? She's just slowly becoming smarter.
I love, though, that Sage... We had so much speculation on Sage and what her plan is, and it turns out this was just her the whole time. She was just that episode of The Twilight Zone where Burgess Meredith wants to be alone to read. That's so much time.
It was time.
Sorry, Tommy, I stepped on you.
No.
Tommy,
I
downloaded that image, so I really wanted to get that in.
Well, but that is how I felt it. I feel, you know, she's a bad person, this fictional character, but what an incredible punishment, like, to have to go from all of this knowledge to, like, being blissfully ignorant. And I guess punishment in terms of, like, as a viewer watching it, you're like, oh, that's... She thinks she's happier, but, like, you know, maybe she will be. She doesn't have quite an understanding. But I thought, like, that was the punishment. If there wasn't a comic book source material, I would have loved that punishment for Homelander if he just became just a guy. Like, I think this is obviously it's very satisfying to kill this like genocidal maniac, but like if he had to like stand trial as just a guy, that also, I mean, that would have been very satisfying to watch as a viewer. I think, like, you know, in terms of like getting their comeuppance, Sister Sage walking away kind of like, I'm so happy to be dumb now. And then I love Colton's idea for slowly regaining some of that intelligence. To me, it was satisfying. I didn't mind it.
And then, like, she could need to, like, track down Kimiko and, like, figure, right. Oh, shit, you're not the weapon we thought. There's so much you could do there. I guess it is
very fitting and, like, thematic for the show to be like, hey, all the people that helped Homelander get away with all of this shit for so long, they're all getting off the hook. They're all fine.
Well, except for the Deep. So let's move on to him next. I mean, if there's one death in this series I think you could have called very easily this season, it was the way he died. It was Scar in The Lion King, right? Like, it just made total sense that he went out that way. And I love how they brought it full circle to the first episode with Starlight. And a lot of things in this episode were full circle, like we'll talk about with Huey and Starlight. But what do you guys think about the Deep send?
I liked how Annie knew to take him to the beach. Like, because in any other situation, she would have known that that's where he is most dangerous, is near the water. But she somehow knew that he was now hated by the fish community, and that if she needed to, she could just blast him right into that water and they'd do the rest. I thought that was a nice
touch. You thought that was on purpose?
I thought she was like, I'm going to bring you to your home turf. I'm going to give you a like a field spell card advantage, and I'm still going to beat your ass.
No, I don't know if it was on purpose. It was definitely like a writer contrivance, and that was kind of like
what I was taking like, there.
You know. Yeah, I think it was just to show him like you really ain't shit, and like I'm gonna beat your ass right next to the ocean.
Did anyone else have the feeling when you're watching the finale and Butcher comes in, evening something I can't say on live stream, Daddy's home, and then like the fight between them starts, and then they cut to Deep and Starlight fighting on the beach? I was like. I think they did their fight a disservice by not having it be in the penultimate, because it could have been the big fight of the penultimate, because I just did not care. Every time it cut to them, I was like, get
they only cut to them once.
But for a structural reason, I liked it, because it otherwise it would have been like, well, Starlight would have to be in the Oval Office fight against Homelander or against another soup. No matter what, you had to remove some people from the board, because it was a personal fight between Butcher and Homelander.
That's true, but
I love the way Allfather went out. Mike, what was it you said about Allfather?
I called it. I said that Huey was going to kill him. I think I said, because, I don't know, Huey's going to kill somebody. So I was like, Huey kills Allfather. Starlight kills the Deep. I want Butcher and Ryan to kill Homelander. I called pretty much a lot of it.
But Huey didn't kill Allfather.
Huey was there, but he didn't do the killing.
He put the ball gag over his
head. That was him.
MM was it killed Allfather.
It was a team effort. Huey was there.
MM killed Allfather.
Well, Huey's impression led him away. What a great impression of Butcher.
But it was MM that.
That's his power, charm. He distracts. Like he did.
I loved that they
synapse in the last episode.
When Huey and MM enter the room, you see MM see the ball gag, but they don't show the ball gag. You just have MM go. What the fuck? And
what character development for MM to be able to touch a sex toy?
Very true. He's come a long way with his OCD.
He literally overcame his OCD in that moment to kill Allfather. It's kind of a big deal.
One last thing I want to say about the Deep. I do think, that character definitely deserved the death. But I did think, like, now that you took away his ability to communicate to fish and, like, all the fish hated him, I thought the Deep was poised as a brilliant character to, like, through line, like, into other spinoffs, where he's, like, useless and nobody likes him. He keeps trying to, like, appear on commercials and shit and nobody's buying it. I keep thinking about in Agatha All Along, Ralph Boner shows up, but he's like got a beard and he's like a conspiracy theorist. I wanted that route for the Deep, where he's like, I'm still a part of the Seven. It's like, dude, the Seven disbanded like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about?
You know, I was Homelander's right hand man. Like, it's like, he should have had to go back to Ohio or something.
Oh, that would have been funny.
The ultimate meta move.
Wish him my worst enemy.
I'm from
Ohio. I'm joking.
Imagine if he
got
palm.
Imagine if he'd got sent to New Jersey. That would have been punishment.
Oh, that would be the shit.
No, the true punishment for the Deep is to spend his life appearing at Comic Cons, and not the big one in San Diego. The ones that are in like Fresno Comic Con. But $95
headshot. Dealing with Booth Barnacles the whole time. Okay, now we've got a couple super chats to get to before we move on. We got to buzz through these characters. The Guild of Calamitous Intent gave us one of my favorite screen names, by the way, gave us $5. Shout out to Ethan for his awesome writing all season long. I think he meant Ethan and Colton. But Ethan, we all know who the real brains behind the operation is. The guy has got his other hand in a pie. And Jaguera gave us $5 and said, are we doing more comic book boys parody shirts? I'm telling you, after this finale, we could definitely think of some. Mm-hmm. There's some crowbar involving ones we might do. And Phila Rumba from Down Under, longtime friend of the channel, gave us $8, said Pat's for Doug. Kevin's end should have been more drawn out. He got off too easy. The symbolism was great and not satisfying enough. It was too quick. And I do need to check and see. I think, Phil, you might be one of our $100 tier members. If you are, thank you. And if you're not, still, those $200 tier members we have, we got to set aside our time to do our live Q&A live stream on Zoom or something. And
I'll remind you that Doug's contract stipulates that those pats must be delivered within at least 5 business days, if not. If it's going to be more, I need that in writing.
As Doug's attorney, we appreciate the Guild of Calamitous Intent gave us another $10 and said, if Homelander had lived and went to trial, his supporters definitely would have been gathering to support him while wearing t-shirts that said never surrender with his mugshot. I can't think of any real life parallel.
We talk about the Elon Musk parody in this one. I almost forgot about that.
The little jump. You think that was an Elon Musk parody?
No, the dude in the White House.
The billionaire.
Amateur astronaut. And then he's like, I took him to space.
Yeah. Thing on Deep. I wish that when Deep had gone to the White House, and I mentioned this in the breakdown, I think that he should have pitched himself as a new hero and been like, Homelander, I could be like a space biker in the rebooted universe or something.
Lobo. That's good. All right. Talk to me about, and again, we're going to run a little bit low on time, so don't have to rush, but just bear that in mind. Kimiko.
Okay. So here's my feeling on why I did not like them doing this. They said, we're going to try and recreate the experiment that gave Soldier Boy his powers. That's what happened to him in the 80s when he was kidnapped by the Russians, right? They were experimenting on him. Now, they had those files from the Kremlin, so they had the research and everything. But the equipment that they were using was just the nuclear radiation from the facility in the United States where they went, where they were looking for V1, right? And what Soldier Boy said was they used to test this on us just to see how strong we were. That's Vought. Vought used that to test their like resistance to radiation. And then they just used that and were like, yeah, well, some combination of that and the notes from Russia and Sister Sage. Why not? Kimiko can do the same thing. It just seemed very
it's
like
a universe where people
together.
Have superpowers from
it's pretty
drug injections.
Sure.
I feel like everything else is kind of like there's at least like a semblance of like I understand why they set up the groundwork for this and that. And this kind of seemed like an easy way to tie things together and like get out of
I think season 5 of it's The Boys shortcut. Might be an even better watch after we see Vought Rising. Like it might be like be an even better watch.
Interesting.
I hate that aspect of it.
If that is true, I don't like that they did that. Like, yeah, it'd be like, oh, well, season 8 of Game of Thrones is a lot better after you watch House of the Dragon. Like, I don't know.
Loved, as far as Kimiko goes, the idea that this is a character who was traumatized and always struggled with her self-confidence and always struggled with who she was and didn't like the fact that she had powers. And then she felt like she had to tap into this anger and rage that defined her in the comic book and in the show. And that ultimately Frenchie, the person who taught her to speak again, was the person who taught her to express herself with love and to use her powers with love at the end instead of with rage. I thought his cameo was absolutely pitch perfect. I love that.
Yeah, and she's always, she was created to be a weapon and Butcher always used her like a weapon. But now we got to see her make the choice to be the weapon. And I thought that was a nice touch. Yeah.
Like the anti-Iron Giant, right? The total flip side of that.
Superman.
Happy she got a happy
ending. Don't. Gets me every time. Okay, moving on.
Oh my God. My nephew called me crying because he watched the Iron Giant for the first time and he was sad that the Iron Giant died. And then I was like, dude, you got to finish watching it. You see the little nuts and bolts moving. Everything's cool. And he was like, oh, okay.
I've watched it 100 times. I still cry when it happens. Starlight. What do we think about that ending?
I hate that so much happened off screen for Starlight, you know, like the conversation that they mentioned in an earlier episode where Kimiko and her are like, oh, I don't want to take the V1 because immortality would suck. I would have to watch you two die. Right. Great that Kimiko and Starlight figured that out, why am I not seeing that on my screen? The same thing with, like, we get a little bit of a month time skip, right? And then she's pregnant. And I like that it sets up the whole, like, Robin, protect your mom stuff. That's my biggest issue with this finale, is that I like what's going on. I would have loved more of it. I would have loved to see, it is so quick after the Butcher and Huey confrontation.
You wanted a whole episode, like Game of Thrones. Yeah, Game of Thrones always have an entire issue.
I think there's been this confusion that this show was ever Starlight's show, and I can see why that confusion was there because of how much time they gave to her in early seasons, and then I think especially with season four they did a lot. But I think what the finale really showed is that this was always Butcher and Huey's show, like, specifically. Yeah. So while she may have felt a little sidelined, maybe a little benched, I don't have a problem with it necessarily, because this show needed to focus on its ending being about Butcher and Huey.
Mm-hmm. What's the interesting thing about Starlight at the end, and I'm curious where this universe would take this idea. So she, at the end of it, is now a super, she's like a real superhero, doesn't wear a costume or anything silly, but she uses her abilities to help people. But the theme of this show is that people who have power will ultimately be corrupted by that power. Annie, you know, was always shown as kind of not that, but she also had all these other avenues. Like, if the Deep hadn't sexually harassed her on the first day, she probably would have been sucked into that Vought machine and put fame first and done all these other things and made those sacrifices along the way. So the fact that that's the theme of the show, and then they end it with, well, but okay, but some people can be superheroes. Some people can still step outside the law. There's this TikToker I follow named Jason Pargin. He gave a great video the other day. He talked about how if you were to explain vigilantes to aliens or people from outside our culture, they'd be like, well, so wait, so these people catch bad guys. You don't have systems in place to catch bad guys? Oh, we do. But these people get to cut through those systems. They break the law to enforce the law. And it's to me, it's a satisfying ending for her. But it's also pretty antithetical to think that there's a vigilante running around doing this. I would have liked it better if she would have been deputized by the authorities and would have shown that Supes are working within the law. The only thing I think that justifies it is that she just spent over a year in a position of weakness. And as Erskine said, you know, a weak man knows the value of strength. So that's where I landed on it. But I still think that satisfying, but didn't quite fit the theme of the show.
I think, because, like, the show definitely says, like, oh, power will corrupt you, right? But I think the message of there are some people who are uncorruptible, or, like, people that have the will to, like, get through anything. Because we see that in Huey and Butcher's confrontation, where Butcher is like, all that shit I put you through all these years, and you still came out of it a good person. Like, Huey is, if Huey had V, he would be in the same vigilante position that Annie would be, and we wouldn't question whether or not Huey could be corrupted by that power.
Season three, when he did get powers, and he faced those same temptations, too, and Annie brought him back. That's a great point.
Wait, going off of what Ethan just said, though, about how some people are uncorruptible, I think it is also a testament to the futility of being an uncorruptible, like, fair-minded person who decides to go into an organization with the thought of, I know this place has problems, but I'm going to try and be a light in the darkness, and I'm going to try and fix it, or I'm going to try and clean it up and make it good. There's a lot of people who think, I'm going to become a cop, and I'm going to be like a really good cop by the book. I'm going to become a prosecutor, and I'm going to be a good, fair-minded prosecutor. I'm going to be a judge, I'm going to be a good, fair-minded judge. When you work within a system that itself has fractures and is in some ways corrupt, in some ways unfair, in some ways unjust, it is very difficult and almost soul crushing to try to stay optimistic and try to make a difference and make things better in a what is really like a massive beast that you are just a small part of. And that's what Vought is in this universe. Well, like, even if Annie is a good person, or like we've seen plenty of superheroes that we didn't necessarily think were bad people. We didn't think that Blind Spot was a bad person. We didn't think that Eagle the Archer was a bad person. We didn't think, you know, like there were a lot of them that were just like decent that ended up dying or bad things happened to them. And sadly, not enough of them to make a difference in a very large and corrupt organization.
But the greater your power, it seems like the bigger of a dick you are. Sorry, Colton, go ahead.
Well, it comes back to that argument of like, especially if you're unilateral disarmmament, like, not to get, you know, into politics, but take like gerrymandering.
No, but that's what it is. Yeah,
but take like gerrymandering. Like, I'm personally anti-gerrymandering, but when the opposite side of where I fall starts doing extreme gerrymandering, well, what's the proper response? To stay true to my I am anti-gerrymandering, or to gerrymander to to counteract it. So yeah. It's like with Starlight,
you lose and be right or yeah. win.
So what does Starlight need to do? Not be a superhero and let crime run rampant and let the supes who do still have powers do their thing, or be a hypocrite and embrace her superpowers to be a check and balance. It's kind of a really gray area.
Also, I want to point out that I think Vought sponsored superheroes are not vigilantes in this universe. They are deputized to stop crimes. Like in the first season, you have Madeline Stilwell discussing figures on whether to put Nubian Prince in Detroit. Like they're working out deals with the city governments, and that presumably gives them the authority to act with the color of law. The problem is that the superheroes are abusing it, and then Vought is covering it up.
But I don't think under a President Singer that's going to fly.
No. But again, you know, federal power versus state and municipality power, if they decide that they want to hire a private law enforcement force that has superheroes, unless there's a federal law that bans it nationwide.
And I think we're going to see a lot of, like, say what you will, you know, about President Singer. I think he and Stan Edgar, they're going to have some interesting conversations in future shows. Like, we're going to see backroom deals being made between these two characters. Yeah.
Who both now probably have a greater appreciation for the seriousness of this, given that they were both an inch away from death at the hands of
Soup. Yeah. And I mean, Stan Edgar's no fan of Soups either, I don't think, at this point. No. So I'm curious
to
see. Well,
he said we're not a superhero company.
Or a pharmaceutical.
Yeah, he said we're not a superhero company, we're a pharmaceutical company. So what else can V1 do? Can V1 cure cancer? Can it cure cancer temporarily? And then they have to keep coming back and paying more for it? Because that's what Vought would do. They wouldn't just cure cancer.
They would
find a way to, like,
if they did find a way to just completely cure cancer, they would send it back to the lab and be like, find a way that it cures it for 5 years. Like, yeah. That's what they
should do. Be a subscription service. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They do that.
Marcos.
Oh, they do. Yes.
Oh, with the tumor. Yeah, that's right.
Well, with the tumor, but they also have like one of those, you can be beautiful, but it only lasts like a week and then you have to pay a subscription. Right. Like,
thing. Like the substance or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the heavies now. Let's talk about Butcher. What about his ending?
Perfect. Okay. Can I say, I think it was a perfect ending, but knowing that there are a million spinoffs on the way, I did kind of want to see Butcher become a villain, like have him be the next Homelander threat. Like that was, if you kept Butcher alive, that would be the only way to do this. And I'm speaking completely selfishly because I just love Carl Urban's portrayal of this character. I want to see him more. But the ending that he got was perfect. It was great.
Completely disagree.
It's basically right out of the comic book, too.
You've been dogging on me.
He goads Huey into killing him.
You've been dogging on me all stream because I'm okay with spinoffs, and now here you are. You want Butcher?
No, but I'm saying that if we are going to be forced to eat a million spinoffs in this universe, I want Butcher to be around.
At least somebody is making you watch them. I am. So
this is Ethan.
I'll watch the spinoff.
I'll watch the spinoff.
I'm really sorry. I'll watch Gen V season 3. Even though it's not getting it. I mean, I don't think Butcher's arc could have ended any other way. I think it had to go. He was always going to not stop.
And it was a perfect... Sorry, go ahead.
And anyone who complained about the terror story in the one shot, that's what set this up. Because that was his last...
He got his revenge. He kept his promise to Becca. He made sure that Ryan was like safe and was going to be well taken care of. Like he knew that he would have people around for him. And then I feel like it was almost like he turned into a force ghost. Like this is the part where he just goes like, okay, I'm done. And then fades away. Like, I think he left the bottle there. I think he wanted Huey to stop him. I think he really wanted
100%.
To be killed by his canary.
Yeah. Like,
because he was still of two minds, even though the soup cancer was gone, Butcher was always a divided person. That's why that power is what developed when he got the soup stuff. Anyway, sorry, Tommy.
No. I think that, you know, one of the simplest themes of this show for me is isolation makes you sick, connection makes you well. And as each of these characters became more isolated, they became the most evil versions of themselves, including the villains, including Homelander. When he finally resolved that he was the one true God, he became the most evil version of an already evil person. Every time Butcher was separated from the boys, his plans got more diabolical, more evil, more death. Every time Starlight got separated from Huey, she started to become more cynical about what really makes the world go round. When she reconnects with her father, she starts to believe that there is a purpose for her to be. So ultimately, once Terror died, that was the one thing tethering Butcher back to like reality. That was
to
like
Becca.
Not, Yeah, and to his old life. I mean, he had this version of himself that had become this super-powered being that was basically a merchant of death. And then, you know, but he still had his dog that he loved, that he would go to any length to keep alive. And then that dog died. And I think you're right. I think that his act of going to Vought Tower was basically knowing full well that Huey was going to go there and stop him. And I ultimately think that if Butcher wanted to kill Huey, even though he didn't have his powers, he could have in that fight. I think all of that
happened in that room, too. That's the room where Huey first made an act to definitively put himself on the side of Butcher when he put the microphone under the desk when he went there to sign the settlement.
Yeah, we talked about
that is where their relationship began and ended in that room.
I thought that was perfect. And the other full circle moment that was great, if we can move on to Huey, was it ends with him stepping out to the curb, which is what set him on the whole journey. And I pointed this out in the ending, explained, Colton, you probably talked about it too in your Easter egg video. But the fact that this show is full of many episodes begin and end with similar themes, you know, with similar scenes, young Starlight in a beauty pageant, and then ends with Starlight, like in the present day, standing her ground. Like this happens all the time. And so the fact the first episode mirrored the last episode so well, this episode even begins and ends with a funeral. I thought that was all great. What do you guys think of Huey's ending?
I think that Huey should have got ran through by another speedster right at the end.
Marathon man. Whoa. Oh, no, he's dead. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Ran through.
Yeah. Oh. No more season four.
You've been watching some videos with Lamplighter. Have you been hanging out?
Oh my God.
Marcos Garcia gave us $5 and said, IDF war criminal got the least gruesome death of the season. Lol. And I asked, I'm not sure who they were talking about.
They're referring to Frenchie's actor, Tomer Capone. But it's
gotcha. So we're not talking about that right now. I'm not touching that. That's how, you know, when you're producing your own thing and you're just reading stuff on the fly. I don't know. That's the thing. Like, no matter what people thought about the scale of the finale, we talked about this earlier, but what you guys are describing, the expectations, sounds like everything people hated about the Stranger Things finale. The big CGI monster, and the show's never been big. It's always best when it's small, when it's between people, and when it shows that soups are kind of dumb and kind of gross, and they just are like regular humans in so many ways. So that goes back. Big
brawls, because it's a lot of the violence that you see in the show is not even soup on soup. It's usually a soup versus a human casualty. So it's over like that. Yeah. And it's incredibly gory.
If the finale had looked like one of the Vought movies,
it would have been awful. And also, like, what you brought up there, Mike, is a great point, because the show is about showing how powers, if they were real, would absolutely turn these people into alien beings. Like, they're not really human anymore because they can't relate. They have no weakness. They lose all the things that make them human. And seeing that, like, sudden burst of violence from people, and the way the human body is just made of skin and feet and blood and just explodes so easily, is horrifying. And I think that this battle was our turn to see that happen to Homelander.
To say that it's like they're no longer human, it almost makes me think that the only part of them that's really human that's left is their vices. And that's maybe why they lean so heavily into their vices, because that is human, like to be an addict.
Damn.
Or to,
and those are souped up too.
Whatever their thing is, there's so many weirdo soups that are into odd things that maybe that's like their way of maintaining their humanity, is like having their flow and magnifying them.
What specifically?
That is one hell of an observation.
What specifically are you referring to as like odd vices?
I mean, I don't know. You guys want to do a rewatch?
Why not?
Those
why
videos not? That you were watching with Lamplighter. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
We should probably do this for the channel, Ethan. We should make a social that is like all the grossest moments in The Boys, but the whole screen is just censored for every single shot. Because there's like, remember the start of season 3 when the one guy is small and he crawls into the other guy?
Yep. I was just thinking about Herogasm. Just Herogasm.
Let's do this. We got 1 minute left. Let's everybody just say their fondest, disgusting memory from The Boys while keeping this as PG as possible.
Oh, you gotta give me a minute.
You have 45 seconds.
The little Ant-Man guy running around in the urethra, that always
that's what I was talking about. That's okay, we can both use the same one.
Ugh. Yeah, that's pretty gross.
I like him crashing into the whale. the beach.
Oh,
trail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Classic, classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think ripping. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
I was going to say, I think ripping the congresswoman in half at the season finale of season four.
The vice president.
I'm sorry.
First one of the series when Robin gets run through, but
not
then
Tommy's
on,
vice president.
He's getting run through. Everybody's getting run through on this
I didn't
show,
recognize yes. any of the women politicians they, on the show,
she,
and I never do.
After she gets run through and at the club, A-Train and Miz followed one of her teeth.
You're talking about trains and getting run through. Guys, we need to come up with some other terms. We need...
After she gets railed by A-Train, I think it's pretty
fair.
Obvious
that's yeah. better. Now we know what you're talking about. Guys, we got to wrap it up there, and I think just in time. Let's see here.
We
Tommy,
don't
got any
up.
Shows
don't
or anything coming
up
to talk about?
I don't. I just got to get back to work. I'm late already. I can't believe this keeps happening. There's people outside my door begging me to sign important documents.
Please sign the documents.
All right.
One of mine? My God.
All right. Tell Janet we said eat shit. Talk to you later. Mike, you got any shows coming up to tell us about?
I do. I actually have a show tomorrow night.
Just kidding. Michael, I'm bringing you right back. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna
All right, good. You have a show tomorrow night.
Guys, Ryan really likes me, okay? I'm his number one bro on this channel.
He's one of my favorite people
no
alive.
No cap, on God, bro. No cap.
Please tell us about your show. You can see my hands. I can't click off.
I do a monthly news comedy show here in Chicago. It's called Keeping Tabs News. We have a show tomorrow night, May 21st, June 18th, and July 16th at the Annoyance Theater here in Chicago. But if you're not in Chicago and you want to watch the show for free, you can go follow us on YouTube at Keeping Tabs News. No G, just KEEPINTABSNEWS. On YouTube, on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Mike M Comedy. If you, for whatever reason, in any way, think that I'm funny, because I do other things and post a lot of stuff. And that's it. I've said too much. I love you guys. I love this show. Thanks for having me on. Peace.
Thanks for coming on, Mike. I miss him already. And Colton, you can find him here on the channel and on his own channel. Links for those are below. Thanks so much. I know you got a video to finalize. Thanks for coming on. And Ethan, thanks for all your help and everything you've done this season. You're a true fan of the boys and Gen V, and we couldn't do these breakdowns without you.
Thanks.
And we want to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts about the boys finale? Let us know down in the comments below, or you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, our free to join Discord server, or subscribe to me on Substack. That's always a huge help. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe, smash that bell for alerts. And don't forget, tonight, 8 p.m. EST, we're going to do an X-Men watch along watch party. We've never done one of these before. So come enjoy all of the technical mistakes that we're going to make gloriously live in front of all of you.